Please stand in reverence to reading of God's Word. To turn in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. Said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old unto thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I certainly do want to thank you again today for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you for this privilege here to listen to it today as we read it. I'm thankful, Father, as Sunday school classes has taught it. I'm thankful that our children's churches, Lord, this morning will be teaching it to their students. And Father, thank you now for this great privilege as we stand before this congregation to bring forth a message from your word. Once again, we ask you to do your will, that, Lord, that you will be honored and glorified in these services. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 3 weeks ago, we had preached a message on salvation. In fact, then the next week we followed it up. I'd felt so impressed by the Lord to just simply do everything I could to make salvation real plain and real simple. And we tried to do that in 2 weeks in a row. And then last week we preached on the subject of fear not. Some of you remember that message. Some of you was asleep, but some of you remember that message. No. But you remember that message on fear not. And we found out that the word fear, or a form of the word fear, and the word afraid is found 700 times in the Bible. It's amazing. And God tells us to fear not. There was no fear until sin came into the garden. It was after sin came in that Adam said, I was afraid. So there was no fear. It's because of sin that fear, that men have fear. Men are trying to cover up that fear. I'm not preaching it again. I'm just kind of catching us up. Men are trying to cover up that fear. They do it in oh so many ways. They keep busy in their life. They buy things and spend money and go places and do things just to cover up the fear that's really inside them. See, they do so many things. But anyway, we preached that. And this morning, though, the same messages that I preached those 3 weeks was given to me by the Lord. The same message that I'll preach today, the message I'll preach today is also given unto me by the same God who gave the other ones. Okay? So what I'm going to do is preach a message called Under God's Discipline. Under God's Discipline. I just want you to hear me for just a little while this morning. Sometimes people wonder, if they get out of sorts with God, will God really do anything about it? Some people think that just because they get out of sorts with God, get off on the wrong track, and not their relationship with God is not too good, that God just simply is going to ignore it. But God doesn't ignore it. God never ignores it. God puts us under the heavy hand of discipline. God's discipline. And when he does that, remember this, he disciplines his own children. He doesn't discipline the devil's children. He disciplines his own children. He chastises or corrects his children. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 5, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. I imagine anybody here that is a parent and has some understanding about raising children, you've all chastened your children. You've all, let us use this word, corrected them. There's not a person in here that has not corrected their children, because that's the right and proper thing to do. They must be corrected. Word of God tells us to do. So God uses the illustration. He said, just like you would correct your children, your sons, I correct mine. Amen. See, God corrects his. So we need to understand that when we get off track, we immediately go under the hand of God's discipline. See, this is important that you understand that, you see. The unsaved, their punishment is reserved in hell. He works about not correcting them, but getting them saved. He wants them saved. It doesn't do any good to clean up an unsaved man. It's good that he lives right, but it doesn't do any good to clean up an unsaved man. He needs saved. The thing he needs is to be born again, you see. So there's a punishment one of these days when you see unsaved folk getting by with a lot of things. And doing like you wonder, well, how do they do all that? Why do they get? Well, it's coming. It's down the road. God's punishment is reserved in hell for them. Now, that's not a very good thought, but that's the way it is. So God works on the unsaved to get them saved. That's what he wants them to do. Get saved. They need to get saved before they can ever then be treated like a child of God, where he then begins to discipline and train them and do the things that he wants to do to make them better sons of God, you see. So the unsaved has already got their punishment reserved. But you see, when a child of God gets out of sorts with God, God immediately begins to move to correct that. Now you say, Brother Ross, what if I repent? You repent and you repent, and we'll look at it here in a little while. You get corrected, you repent and forsake it, God wipes it clean. See, that's why it's so important. You just keep a clean slate. Boy, that's important. You see, are we gonna sin? Are we gonna do wrong? More than likely. But see, if you don't let it all build up, you'll find out that God don't have to bring his hand of discipline on your life. If you get it just forgiven, get it cleansed, God just wipes it clean. It's under the blood. It's a marvelous thing. So we've got to understand that if we continue in sin, now listen to me closely, if we continue in sin and there's no discipline in our life, it means we're not saved. Now you get a hold of this. I'm going to give you some scripture. The Bible says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, if you're a saved person, does God love you? Does he love you as a child? Yes, he does. So what's he say? What does he do to those who he loves? He rebukes and chastens them. See, if you're sinning and you're in sin and you're not being chastised or corrected by God, it means you're not a Christian. You're not born again, because God does all of his children that way. Listen to this verse of scripture over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12. For whom the Lord loveth, now listen closely, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You see, if you're a child of God, you are going to be chastened. You're going to be corrected. There's no doubt about it. Now, if you're not, see, God don't go around spanking the devil's children. He's got a plan for you. He wants you to be saved, and he'll work toward that means. But he immediately, when a child of God gets out of sorts with God, gets going in the wrong direction and stays in that wrong direction, the hand of God, the chastening hand of God, moves upon that child of God. Amen? Now remember, if you're his child, he chastens you. True? I mean, you got to hold that. Amen? We also know that chastening, there's a lot of things that basically the word can mean, but it means to discipline. To chasten means to discipline, to teach. To discipline by teaching. To train them by discipline. To train and nurture them by discipline. See, God disciplines us When we're not doing right, God chastises us. And he's busy about doing that. Why, Brother Ross? Because he loves us. His love is so great, he doesn't want his children to do wrong, and so he loves us. You see, chastening is not something that God does against us. It's something he does for us. Listen. In 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, we have in communion tonight. I let the disciples take care, or the deacons take care of that. And so we usually have it on the first Sunday, and it'll be of the night this time. We kind of switch back and forth. But we'll be reading this tonight, but listen to me. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You see, God takes care of his people. He does it for us, not against us. He does it because he loves us, and he wants us to be more like him. I'm not going to go over to Proverbs, but over in Proverbs, the third chapter of Proverbs, you ought to read that chapter sometime. Just read that chapter, and it talks about the chastening of the Lord and how God takes care of us. And he does it because he loves us. What a love he has for us. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing there in the third chapter of Proverbs. Why does God discipline his children? First of all, listen to me. God hates sin. Now, you've got to get a hold of this. You've got to remember something. We forget sometimes that we're serving a holy God. God is holy. He hates sin. Yeah, I know he loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And we serve a holy God. And God does not like sin. He doesn't want it in his children's lives. In fact, he will not tolerate it in his children's lives. He will move to get it eliminated. Now, that may take a lot of time, may do a lot of things he has to do in our life, but when there's sin, knowing sin, and sin that is there and continues to be there and it's not corrected, it's not forsaken, God continues to move in that child's life of his to do something to get rid of that and eliminate that and get him back right with right relationship with God. Okay? So what we're saying is simply this. No, don't just think, oh well, God doesn't pay attention, and my little sin is not too much. And God does pay attention. God hates sin, and God is concerned about sin. Now we know if you had a child, listen to me, if you had a child, and that child didn't obey you, wouldn't do what you were supposed you told them to do, would you consider that rebellion? I mean, do you think that'd be rebellion? Do you think when we don't mind God, do you think that's rebellion? Well, that's harder to say, isn't it? That's kind of hard to say, Brother Ross. Now, I don't know what I want to talk about. It's rebellion when my kid does it, but it's different when I do it. No. You see, when we don't follow God's ways, that's rebellion against God. And the Bible says rebellion is his witchcraft. Bible says stubbornness is idolatry. It's like iniquity and idolatry. You hear what I'm saying? You see, it's not something God just winks at and passes over. This is why I'm trying to get over to each one. Discipline. God disciplines his children. If you're his child, it's for sure that you're going to be disciplined. If you're in sin, if you're doing things that is not right, and you continue in that, you don't just get it right with God and turn from it, then God is going to continue to move in your life to discipline you concerning this sin. David said this, "The Lord has chastened me sore." Well, listen to what he said. "But he hath not given me over unto death." He said, I'm going to tell you what, God got after me. I mean, he chastened me sore. You see, and you know the story of David, and that's true. That's what God did to him. He chastened him sore. He didn't cause him to have to die, but I mean, he chastened him. Don't you think God loves you as much as he does David? And don't you think he'll do the same thing to you as he did to David? Well, sure he will. You see, I'm going to just look at some kind of what we call major sins. Okay, just for a few moments. Let's talk about lying. There's murder, drunkenness, adultery, fornication, stealing. And you know, I can go to the Bible and find men of God who did these. I mean, well-known men of God. Noah got drunk and paid a cost for it. Abraham lied went down to Egypt when he should have stayed in the promised land, went down to Egypt, and he lied about his wife, lied, and paid a cost for it. David actually was involved with murder, caused Uriah to be killed under his orders. David also committed adultery and paid a cost for it. What I'm saying, now you listen to this preacher. You can say all you want to, well, Brother Ross, you know, I'm doing some things and I haven't got it right yet, but one of these days, you don't understand. There's a cost to be paid for that. No, you don't really understand if you just put it off lightly. There's a cost to be paid for that. And it's heavy. God don't just wink at it. You say, well, nothing's happened yet. Well, give it time. Give it time. God has not decided to move yet. He's given you time to repent and get right with him. But when he moves, he moves. Amen? So we find that, yeah, all of these things, these are hard sins and difficult sins and terrible sins. We know that men of God have suffered, done these sins, and paid a cost for it. But now I want to give you some sins that we don't consider so bad. You know, in the Christian world, even we can despise and hate other Christians or other people and think that that's all right. But it isn't. We can cause strife amongst people and think it's all right to do that. But in God's eyes, it isn't. And God considers it sin. We can be a talebearer or a gossip and pass that off as nothing. But in God's eyes, it's something. We can have a proud look. Go back to Proverbs 6 chapter. I'm not going to turn there, but go back to Proverbs 6 chapter and read it. We can have a proud look. We can just get all proud of who we are. God said he hates it. I think he hates that as much as lying. I kind of think he hates that as much as murder. Oh, you say, brother, no, I think he hates that. He says it's an abomination to him. What I'm trying to do is get you to understand that when God looks at sin, he's not just looking at those out here committing all these terrible, that the world looks at as terrible sins, murder and all these kind of things. He hates sin. And in the Word of God, the sixth chapter of Proverbs, he talks about those sins. He said they're abomination unto him. Sowing discord, talks about in that portion of Scripture. Sowing discord is an abominable thing to God. It's a hateful thing to God. What I'm saying, folks, is we better get a hold of the fact that God hates sin. Sure, he loves you. Sure, he loves the sinner. Sure, but he hates sin. And when those kind of sins are in our life, guarantee you, he's dealing with them. Now, I've seen it for 30 years. Usually when someone begins to get dealt with about their sin, it's always somebody else's fault. Someone else always caused them to do this. They wouldn't be like this if somebody else would straighten themselves up. You ever heard that? Oh, sure. But that's not the way God looks at it. God looks at you and I. You and us. Amen? So you've got to understand that when God sees sin in our life, he begins to deal with it. Amen. And let me share something with you. When the cares of this world come to mean more to you than the cares of the things of God, I'll guarantee you God's going to deal with your life. So I can do what I want to in my life. You know, I can just go here and I can go there and I don't have to pay attention to the things of God. I don't have to work for God. Don't make a difference to me what they do around the church. I'm just going to do whatever I want to. I'll guarantee you God deal with you. Because that's wrong. Amen? I'm saying to you that the discipline of God, people are under the heavy hand of God, under the discipline of God Almighty, and many times they don't realize they're under the discipline of God. They think that somebody is just giving them a rough time or a hard time, and it's God that's trying to straighten out their life. As long as sin prevails in our life and goes unconfessed, that child of God will live under the disciplined hand of God. So you perceive, Brother Ross, you're trying to be pretty rough on us. No, I'm trying to help you. My greatest desire as a pastor is to help you. I don't want you to be living under the heavy hand of God's discipline. I don't want that for you. I want you to understand, though, that God will put you under his hand of discipline if we continue doing things that we're not supposed to do and continue in those sins. God will discipline his children. Now, you understand that. God will do that, you see. Chastening also is not just some simple act that he does once. It's a continuing thing till he gets that straightened out in our life. He begins to move upon our life, and not just one little thing he does for it. He begins to build and build and build and build until he begins to get those, gets our attention to where we understand that we've got to do something about this because God is teaching us, talking to us, just like he did David. David finally realized that God was talking to him. He got a prophet of God sent to him and told him about his sin, and he confessed that he'd done wrong. He confessed that he had sinned against God. That's where God's trying to get us to. Understand? And that's one of the most difficult places to get American Christians to ever say they're wrong. They've sinned. It's very difficult to get them there. They don't want to do that. But I want to tell you, if you're sinning, you're under the disciplined hand of God Almighty. I'll guarantee you, if that sin continues in your life, he is disciplining his children and will continue to do so. God talked about it in the book of Psalms, the 32nd chapter of the book of Psalms. David talked about it as a heavy hand of God was upon him. I want to tell you something. God's hand can get heavy. I mean, it can get heavy. I mean, he just keeps pressing down. Just pressing down. Just pressing down. And it wasn't until David finally confessed his sin and forsook his sin did that hand, heavy hand of God, removed from him. And that's when God lifted it. It's when he finally confessed it and forsook it. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Most of us Christians, when there's sin in our life, want to go to God and say, "Oh, God, I've sinned. I'm wrong. Oh, God, forgive me." That's the right thing to do. But we forget the rest of it. Go right back out and do it again. We never get it corrected. Now, I want to tell you, when God wipes it clean, is when we confessed it absolutely and forsook it. Amen? Turn from it. That's when God will lift his heavy hand that's been on our life. Amen? I'm going to look a little bit here for just a little while what happens to a man under the discipline of God Almighty. First of all, his spiritual state begins to deteriorate. Spiritually, he becomes a very person who is very dead spiritually. I'm not talking about the spiritual life of a born-again creature, but he doesn't have much of a spiritual life. He begins to deteriorate. In other words, he doesn't want to discuss the things of God, doesn't want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't even want to say much about it or about the church or about the things of the Lord. He just gets deteriorated to a place where all he wants to do is talk about the world and do the things of the world. Why? His spiritual life is dead. It's just done. There's nothing left in it. True joy and happiness begins to vanish away. Listen closely. A person who is truly saved ought to have a joy and a happiness in their life. I mean, isn't that right? There ought to be a joy and happiness in our life. You see, if we're truly saved, there ought to be a joy and a happiness in our life. If there's not, it's one of two reasons. Either we're not saved, or it could be very possibly we're just living in sin. And so the joy goes. It just vanishes. We don't have it anymore. You see, a person under the disciplined hand of God Almighty will grow uneasy and uncomfortable around those in the church who are trying to live the right kind of life. They don't want to be around those. In fact, what they do usually is begin to be very critical and picky about everybody else around them, trying to give themselves an excuse. Listen up. What I'm saying is true. I've watched it for 30 years. You see, what needs to happen is you need to just get on your knees and get close to God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sinned. I've got this sin in my life, whatever it might be. I've got this sin in my life. I want you to forgive me, not my neighbor, me. And Lord, help me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." True? You see, God's hand is there for a purpose. He's trying to restore you. trying to help you, you see. And so what happens is, we don't want to be around people who are spiritual. In fact, we want to kind of go to the people who aren't very spiritual, who are critical and picky. And we get together and begin to talk about all kinds of things. You know why? Because you found a soulmate that's just as backslid as you are. And we kind of like it that way. We want to be around our kind. You know, birds of a feather do flock together. It's true. What's happening is they basically are trying to lower other people to their level. And so by doing that, they try to pick on other people and pick on their fact that they're these righteous than thou kind of people. They're always doing things of the God, you know, and make fun of them. I want to tell you something. I'm thankful for every Christian here that works hard for God and just keeps working. I'm thankful for every one of our servants here in this church that just keeps on going no matter what anybody else says. And I don't want to hear them talked about. I'm very grateful and thankful for every servant that God has given us here who's just willing to just go out there and do what God has given them to do. See, if you're under the disciplined hand of God Almighty, let me say this to you. I'm just going to say it. You're miserable. No, you're miserable. There's no way you can be any other way, you see. You're frustrated. You've got bitterness in your life. I know you do. If God is putting his hand on you, you've got bitterness in your life. And what needs to do is just come to God, get it forgiven, get it cleansed. And God just wants to wipe it all clean, take care of all those things, you see. God wants to do that. Let me say to you also that when God deals with us concerning discipline, he deals with our body. And sometimes he deals with our life. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. David said this. He said, "The Lord has chastened me sore." Listen to me. You can't fight God. You can't win. No way you can win it. You can fight God for the rest of your life, but you are not going to win. God uses all kinds of things. He has all kinds of things to use in your life to help you understand we need to get straightened out. You know, do you know God uses money that way again? And listen to me. Everything I'm going to mention here does not mean that every time something is wrong money-wise that he's chastising us. Because God does a lot of things even in our monetary life. One of the things he does sometimes, the lack of money, he's changing the direction in our life. I've preached that before. It's true. And what I'm simply saying is, I'm not saying that every time there's money problems, God is chastening you. But let me say to you, God uses money problems to chasten his people. You see, when a person is not tithing, do you know what God does? He turns the devourer loose. That's scriptural. And so people sit around and they say, I don't know why I've got all this stuff coming at me. Well, check out your relationship with God. Because if you're a child of God, he's not going to let you get by with it. Not going to let me either. Amen? So he uses all kinds of things. He uses our children a lot of times. All kinds of different ways in our children's lives. He uses that sometimes to chastise us. To say, I want to get your attention. You see what's happening in your family? You see what's going on in your family? I want to get your attention. All kinds of calamities come into our life. Many times calamities come into our life, and God is using those calamities to try to get our attention. The disciplined hand of God is upon us, and God's trying to get our attention. You see, he did that with Jonah 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish or whale, however you want to say it. He put him down there for 3 days, and he got Jonah's attention. Now listen to what I've heard for 30 years. People will say to me, "Pastor Ross, you know what it seemed like? The old devil was just fighting me something terrible. He's just after me." Can I ask you a question? What are you doing so great in God's work that the devil's after you? What difference are you making where you're attacking his domain that he would get after you? Oh, the devil's just after me. Well, I think a lot of times it's God. What I'm simply saying, folks, is this. We better look around and realize that it just may be God trying to get our attention. Now, I know the devil gets after us. I know the devil doesn't make it easy on us. But here's what I've experienced. I've seen the old devil go after Job, and I want to tell you right now, I'm not Job. But most of the time, when the devil wants to put something in your life and hinder you in your life, all he has to do is send one or two of his demons, and they can take care of the job. With Americans, Christians, it don't take that much. He don't waste his time on most of us. He did on Job. You know why? Because Job was making a difference. Amen. So what I'm saying is, folks, listen. Just remember, there's a consequences. Preacher preaches this all the time. There's a consequences for sin in our life. David saw it. You remember David. You remember David. You remember the consequences that David went through because of his sin. One of the son of one of his wives raped the daughter of another one of his wives. One of his sons hung in a oak tree hanging there while Joab put arrows through his heart. And you can go on and go on. What I'm saying is, there is consequences for sin in our life. Okay? So, Brother Ross, what's the answer? Well, the answer is to just get it right with God. That's the whole answer. See, it's not a hard thing to do. It's simply coming to an altar somewhere along the line, getting before God and saying, God Almighty, I am sorry. You've dealt with me about this kind of thing. I'm not what I ought to be, and I've just put it off and put it off. But I'm going to ask you to forgive me and cleanse me, and He will, and I'm going to forsake it. By the grace of God, I'm going to forsake it. So what I'm saying is, do you think for one moment, if you're a child of God, that He's just going to let you have sin in your life and just not do a thing about it? Of course not. He loves you too much. Amen? He loves you. So what the best thing that we can do is understand and realize that that hand of discipline is going to be on us when there's sin in our life and we refuse to turn from it. It's going to just stay there. The heavy hand of God. Amen? So the greatest thing in the world you could do, if that's true in your life today, would be just be a great thing. Just come to an altar of prayer. Folks, when you come to an altar of prayer, don't worry about anybody that would say anything. I know this old preacher rejoices. I say, thank God people let God speak to them. Amen. Just as He does to me and He does to you. Thank God for that. So you need to just come to an altar of prayer. You may need to do that this morning. You need to just come up here and get along with God and say, oh God, help me, forgive me, cleanse me, you see. And then go on to serve the true and living God because He loves you very, very much. Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure today that I'm saved. I'm just not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But Brother Ross, I wish you'd pray for me. I want to know that. I want to have that assurance in my life. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure that I'm saved. See, Brother Ross, this morning God spoke to my heart concerning discipline. God's discipline in my life. I know that His hand is upon me in discipline. I know there's some things that I need to get corrected. I need to do right. And God spoke to me about that this morning. And you indicate that by just raising your hand, saying, please pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless others, please. Someone. See, Brother Ross, just pray for me. God spoke to me this morning, and I just need God's help. Someone? Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you so much. I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank You for the wonderful, wonderful love of God. And I thank You love us enough to discipline us. Thank You, Father, for just letting us know when we're not right with Thee and doing some things that's not correct. I just pray, Lord, for those who lifted their hands this morning. And Lord, they just had a heart that said, you know, I think God spoke to me. And I thank You for that. You bless them real good and help them and cleanse them this morning and just use them to the glory of God. And we thank You, Lord, that in this place there may be someone who does not know Christ as their Savior. If that being true, Lord, we know that this would be a wonderful time for them to get saved, that you love them, you died for them, you want them to have eternal life. We just ask your will be done in these services and during this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.